turn in your Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 2. This is not going to be anything horribly deep or anything like that, so don't worry. But it's something that struck me several years ago. And I think I've talked about it before, but I want to talk about it again. What I want to read is one verse, and then we're going to talk about a bunch of chapter 2. But I want to read Revelation 2 and verse 17. Revelation 2 and verse 17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Now, I remember reading the book of Revelation for the first time. Because I was expecting some great event. I really was. This is about, 27, 28 years ago. I was 23 years old, dumb as a post, and scripturally speaking, I was ignorant. Seriously. I'd been born and raised Catholic, and Catholicism does not lead itself toward Bible study at all. Now, possibly if you end up going to a Jesuit college or something like that, maybe they have Bible study. I don't know. I wasn't going. But, so I had managed to be a wonderfully good Catholic for the most part for 23 years without knowing anything about the Scriptures. So I started learning after God did something for me. And where I started, basically, was with the four Gospels. I read those. And that was good. I mean, it was good. I was picking up stuff left and right, Mason. Because I didn't know any of that stuff. I know it was talking about better people than me, but other than that, But I was. I got a lot out of the book of Matthew. I got a lot out of Luke and Mark. And a whole lot out of John. And I still get a whole lot out of John. And I think I'd read, I believe, Acts, and I know I'd read Romans. And for some reason, I got it in my head that I wanted to read Revelations, because I was on a roll, I mean, I was learning stuff left and right. And for some reason, of course, the book of Revelations has a reputation. There's all kind of meetings about it. Here, usually several times a year, you'll see big posters up at Kroger's or somewhere else. And you want to learn about the book of Revelations, a prophecy. So I thought, since I was actually learning something from the Bible, I would read the book of Revelations and get something out of it. It didn't quite work out the way I planned. Okay? But the Spirit, I believe at that time, and I believe at this time, had been witnessing with my spirit and showing me the things of Christ in the Gospels, in the book of Acts, in the book of Romans. I may have read Hebrews before this. So I thought, Revelation is going to be more of the same. But it's not. It's a little different. Now, I got through the first chapter of it pretty good. Because the first chapter starts off, now, Earl was the one that pointed this out to me. The title of this book in my Bible was The Revelation of St. John the Divine. That's what it says. So I marked that part out, and I put The Revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, I didn't mark out the Revelation, I just marked out St. John the Divine. Nothing against John. But I don't think he, like being called divine. And the first verse says, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And that's good, because that's what I was looking for. And this is what Christ showed to John on the Isle of Patmos, which is what he says. That's how I know it. Which God gave unto him to show unto his servant things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bear this record. Now, these are the words of John. It says to the seven churches which are in Asia. And I thought, okay, that's good. I was going to church, so I might need to learn these things. It's about the Christ who washed us from our sins in his own blood. So far, so good. I got that part. Well, I thought I did. I got it more now. And then it said, Christ had made us kings and priests unto God his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. That's verse 6 of chapter 1. Now, when I read this, I was actually kind of pleased, because I think I've told this story here also, that I had been asked if I wanted to become a Catholic priest once. And I was like 20, 21. I had just gotten out of the army. And I managed barely not to laugh at the guy who asked me. But now I am a priest. And you are too. In Christ. And I really like that idea. I mean, I was asked to be a Catholic priest once. I said no. I am a priest now, and I wasn't asked. You've been made one. God doesn't ask anybody to do anything. He'll make you something, then you'll be something. He also made me a king without asking me. He is coming with clouds, and every eye shall see him, even those who pierced him. And everyone will wail. There's going to be a bunch of people wailing because of him. So far, so good. Christ is the Alpha and the Omega. John wrote that part twice. He wrote it once, and then he quoted Christ saying it the next time. So that might be important. He's the beginning and the end. And although John didn't write this, he's also the middle. Because back then they knew. If you use the beginning and the end, you use in the middle too. Nowadays people seem to have forgotten that. It's okay for Christ to have been in charge creating the earth. It's okay for Christ to be in charge at the end. But see, they think the middle's up to us. If it is, we're in trouble. It's not up to us. Walter's been talking about the sovereign God. He is now and ever will be sovereign. He's the beginning. He's the end. He's the author and finisher of our faith. Christ is the creator of everything that was made. And the Lord of glory, who is coming at his day. That last day is known as the day of Christ. He states this, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and death. He's got them now. He's not looking for them. He's not going to get them later. He's got them now. Because he's in control. Then I read Revelation chapter 2. And this is the starting of the statements to the churches, the seven churches. Now, I'm not going to go too much into this as far as what it says about these churches, but a lot of this is not good. Okay? They had problems. And John was pointing them out. But at the end of every one of these paragraphs about these churches, at the end of every one, there's a statement. Either he that overcometh, or to him that overcometh. The first one is in verse 7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. That was after the address to the church of Ephesus. The next was the church in Smyrna. You'll find the end of that in verse 11. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. The next one is the one I read, which is Pergamos, and that's verse 17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hinted manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Excuse me. The next one goes to the churches of Thyatira, and it's in verse 26, chapter 2. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Continues on into chapter 3 about the church in Sardis in verse 5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Then the church in Philadelphia is in verse 12 of chapter 3. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. Verse 21 is from the church of the Laodiceans. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. I read that chapter and I was troubled. First of all, because of the problems that are listed there. And see, now I was young and I was stupid, but I didn't know how dumb I was. But I did know I was dumb. And I was also ignorant. And I didn't know how much I was ignorant. But this, I started reading this, and this bothered me, because before I came to this and before I heard this, I was not hearing a lot of sovereign grace messages. I had heard some, but I was kind of in a bit of Arminianism. And see, part of it didn't bother me about what it said about the churches, some of it, because see, I was going places and I was hearing stupid things. And some of it I knew was stupid. So I expected preachers to say stupid things. And I knew I said stupid things. So part of it that I understood, I need to be berated. Every now and then, you need to get chewed out. Well, they call it, in the Bible, they call it rebuked. Because you're going to get some things wrong. because I got some things wrong, and I knew it, and I learned better. But I did not know Earl Cochran at this time. I'd seen Henry Mayen on TV, and I was pretty good with it. I like what Henry said on TV, but I wasn't hearing that anywhere else I went. Now, they talked about Jesus. They quoted Scripture. Fred Kinzer, for one person, quoted a lot of Scripture. And the Scripture was a blessing. The Scripture was good. And the Scripture I learned from, what I had problems with, what he said about it, sometimes. Other times, not so much. But here I'm reading this, and I knew I had not saved myself. And I knew I could not keep myself. And I knew by grace, through faith, that I was saved, and that not of myself, a gift of God. But here, this is kept saying, he that overcometh, he that overcometh, he that overcometh. And the only overcoming I had ever heard about was, are you an overcomer? From pulpits. And I never felt like one. I never felt like I was an overcomer. Because the only place I had ever been and the only place that I was at was because God had put me here. It wasn't because of anything I had done. Even though maybe I had done some things. And so I was worried desperately just about that statement. Because some of this, it says, there's like things to do. He that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end. I'm scared. I might not make it to the end. Not if I had to do it. The verse before that says, this is 2 verse 25, but that which ye have, hold fast. Till I come. And I want to. And I wanted to at that time. I wasn't worried about Christ. I wasn't worried about God. I wasn't worried about the Holy Spirit. I was worried about me. And I wondered why this was in here. Because I really hadn't got any of that from any of the other places, especially the book of John, you know. Not so much that way. But then, I backed up just a bit. About 3 pages, actually. To 1 John chapter 5. I was reading the book of John, the 3 epistles of John. Because I like the Gospel of John. First John chapter 5 begins, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous or burdensome. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Man, it made me feel a lot better. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Our faith overcometh the world, which God gave. And if God gave it to you, You got it. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. That I can handle. By his grace, by his faith, which he gave to me, I can handle that. And it made Revelation chapter 2 a lot nicer to me. He that overcometh, that's me, by faith of Jesus Christ, he's going to give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. He shall not be hurt of the second death. He will give to eat of the hidden manna. All those promises belong to me and belong to you if you believe him. That's good. That's real good. And there's even one a little better. Well, I don't know if it's better, but it's just as good. Revelations 21 and verse 7. Actually, in verse 6, there it is. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Verse 7, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. That's good stuff. It's a whole lot better too now that I know it's talking about me. I'm a king, I'm a priest, I'm a son of God. And you're a king, you're a priest, and you're a son of God, if you're in him. That's the good news. He started off saying that he had washed us from our sins in his own blood. And hath made us kings and priests unto God his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. That's what I want. I want to him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. And if he allows me to partake in that, I can be a happy camper. One of the other things about that statement that puzzled me was, we'll give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. I don't really know my new name. I think I will one day. But I did remember something else from Old Testament times. Because like we say, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In Isaiah 43 and verse 1, it says, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob. Jacob was created. And he that formed thee, O Israel. He gave him another name too. For I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel. Thy Savior, I gave Egypt for ransom, Ethiopia and sea before thee, since thou wast precious in my sight. Verse 7 says, even everyone that is called by my name. For I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. God's people have been made by God. And He has named us. And in time, He calls us by name. And we got a new name. I don't know what it is, but I like it. And nobody in the world knows it. But God knoweth them that are His. And He ever shall. Until that day He comes with clouds. And there may be wailing and all that stuff, but it's not going to be His people. It's not going to be us. They may cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them, to hide themselves. But if He's called you by name, you're going to be there. But you're not going to be wailing. Somebody else may be gnashing teeth, but it's not going to be His people. Because we have overcome the world in faith, which is from Him, His gift, ordained to walk in good works. But it's His faith that we are kept by the power of God through faith. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for this place and this time. And we're thankful for Your Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ, who is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the author and the finisher of our faith, who shed His blood for His people, whom He knows by name and calls by name, and gives eternal life unto in Him. And we ask this, we thank You. We pray that You would continue with Your blessings upon us. In His name, amen.